Well, today is the day. If Betty doesn't mouth off in the next few hours, we will have made 57 years now.
God be merciful to you.
Yeah, we got married this day, 1957. I think about 6 o'clock. I wouldn't be certain about that, but it was getting late, I know. And she said, "I will," and I must have said, "I do." Because we've been doing her will ever since. Turn with me to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. All these things happened unto Israel for our example, in sample or in example. And I think it does us good to go back and look at these things often, that we might be reminded of where we came from. That outside of the grace of God, we'd all be in the same place as national Israel. Because we're prone to do the same thing, keep turning away, going the same way, going after our own thoughts and imagination, which has come real prevalent in our land. We started off somewhat righteous. Tried to base things on righteous understanding. And we've grown further and further and further away from that, just as the Israelite people did. It kept going away. We read again, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." Then we'd have to ask this question: did they not know? Yeah. We got the answer to that, don't we? In our day, we got the answer. Yeah, they knew. The word went out through the whole world. And they knew. And then he goes on, he said, "Son of man, caused Jerusalem to know her abominations." I believe press it upon them that they might have understanding of the way that they have gone, that God might be justified. He said before in both cursings and blessings, and what did they choose? Well, it isn't any different today. They talk about man's will today. That's got to be the biggest sermon going, is man's will and what he can do. And they say, well, all you got to do is decide. And I asked that fellow about Pharaoh. I said, what about Pharaoh? He is trying to tell me every man has the opportunity. God gives him the opportunity. And I said, what about him? Oh, well, he had the opportunity. He could have decided any time, but my book don't say that. He is ordained unto that. And God set these things before Israel. He's talking here at Jerusalem, but it was the center point of Israel. That's where they met. That's where they gathered. but their abominations were many. And he said and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. That's the very worst of them. Couldn't get worse than that. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. They continued feeding off of the same abominations that was there. It kept on feeding them. And kind always produces kind. And they were feeding off of this. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. I don't think this born here is necessarily what we would think of today. They were being born all the time. Being developed. They were coming out. Not in the sense that they were moving out of this unrighteous state that they were in, but they were being born as we're being born today. But everything has its day and everything has its time. And all of it is wrapped up in the time of the Lord. That's the day they were born, the day that He decided to call them. They were a chosen generation. I don't guess anything in Scripture speaks much more plainly about the sovereignty of God than the calling of Israel. All the nations that was there, and He called this little old nation, and that's what He's pointing to here. You of all of them, you were the worst. Look at yourself. You're the very worst one. And He said, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. It's the only way they're going to have any life at all. The Spirit said, live. Come by and said, live, yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Right now they're polluted, they're putrid. They're absolutely ruined, rotten, no hope, cast out, still feeding upon the same old idolatry that they had been feeding upon. Following the same pattern. Even though life and death had been set before them, they still were choosing death. That's what this blood here is representing. Deadness. It's been shed. It's upon you. In all your generations. You're guilty. So thou hast caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And that's after He passed by and took account of them. And thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned and thy hair is grown. whereas thou wast naked and bare, I brought you out. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. They had a covering now. And the wrath was faith because of this covering. It covered their nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He had bought them. Paid price. Furnished a covenant. Made a place for them to go up and worship. Brought joy in the land. Then washed I thee with water that cleaned them up. Took the unclean and made it clean. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil, a chosen generation. The anointing. When the Lord anoints, it's set aside as unto the service of him who hath bought it. And I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. Kind of sounds like an old tabernacle, doesn't it? Had a covering. Shod them. Covered them. Decked thee also with ornaments. And put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper in thy kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect. Through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. They were made fat in the beauty of the Lord. Fatness. We don't like fat nowadays. We don't like it too much. Land of milk and honey, no, we can't eat that old stuff. Get fat. Of course, it's not talking about a bodily fatness here. It's talking about a spiritual fatness. He made them fat with his own beauty. He covered them. That covering he's talking about here is his beauty, his glory. That's doing the covering. I said this kind of sounds like a temple. Kind of sounds like a tabernacle. It was a place they come in out of the world. The Lord called them out of this condition that they were in. Their mother was a Hittite. He brought them out of that unto the holy place and showed them all the goodness of it and made them fat in the beauty of it. But in the 15th verse, we got a problem. but thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown. Whole world gonna come unto you, but what are you gonna do with it? And portray it, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. It was his. What are y'all giving away here? What are you pouring out? Those things that the Lord has given you, you have given it away. Lost it. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels and my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to do thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. They're setting them up some places to worship. You know, we read about the groves. We go up, get in the grove, even offer up their children as sacrifice. Unto what? Unto those gods that were no God. We're not any different today. Our land has come to offer up their children upon the worldly sacrifice, under the lie that man can save himself and make him twofold more the child of the devil than he ever was before. And they make it look so good. That's what he's talking about here. They take the things that the Lord has given, and they put them to where their temples are so beautiful. Go down the road here, and they act on and on and on. They're on every street corner. They've erected them. And that's what they talk about when they talk. Look at our church. And they don't have any earthly idea what the church is. Completely lost sight of it. Because they say this thing's been done away with here. It's alive and well. Judgment of the Lord is alive and well. And tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them. And thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them, these false gods. My meat also, which I gave thee, the fine flour and oil and honey wherein I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savour. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, that wasn't bad enough. Thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. You're going to put them through the fire. It's not going to clean them up, it's going to kill them. Is this that thy whoredom a small matter? Don't need to answer that, do you? That thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. Serve the Lord while young, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. You have forgotten all of that. Where were you hewn from? Out of what rock did you come? I've hewn you out. You need to look back at where you've come from. Nowadays, we just get rid of this Old Testament. We don't need that thing. We got the New Testament. But we find much more in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. I believe, especially about the dealing of God with His people over all the years. And we are to look back. Not that we want to go there, but that we would want to remember where we have come from. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness. Woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. That's what I just said, there's one on every corner. You drive from here over to Interstate 45, I don't know how many of these. And they're not modest little places. They got big numbers. And I guess we got the biggest one in the world right here in Houston. The old Summit over there took it over. They say it's a church. But they forgot. They forgot. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredom. Isn't that something? When it's so plain that they can't try themselves by this word and see. Make them to know. Well, they do know. Apostle Paul asked that question. Did they not know? Oh, yeah, they did. But the thing is, do we not know? Has the word not gone out? And yet we're wound up in little bitty old numbers like us? And the people laugh at you? How many you got in church? Oh, got about a dozen. But I believe they know where they come from. We do try to teach the judgment of God. Salvation is from the judgment. I don't know how that we have come so far away from that, the simplicity that's in the gospel. They've twisted it up, mangled it to where, you know, none of them can have any understanding at all because it's so twisted. This decision thing has absolutely eaten us up. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. Matter of fact, they're teaching now that you can make that decision at home and just watch it on the TV. Betty called me in there once in a while to Facebook and showed me something. And she doesn't necessarily show me that, but I see these things as she's going back. People that have no earthly idea who God is putting things on there, supposing to know. And it's an abomination to say that God is going to have pity on me because I have made a decision, but I have not come out from Canaan. Still there. Book of Hosea. Chapter 2. Verse 2, he said, "Plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her idolatrous from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked." And she sat as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children. Boy, it's a sad state here, isn't it? But that's our day. This is definitely our day. "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be children of whoredoms. And their mother hath played the harlot, and she conceived them both. Them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread." What? Lord did give it. Y'all took it and threw it away. Made trash out of it. "That give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." The Lord provided all these things, but we sometimes don't take it in account. Just kind of wash over. And it's growing in our land by leaps and bounds, more in this day than I have ever seen in my over 70 years of observing. This no fear thing that we've mentioned several times before is growing extremely fast. You may not see it anymore, but people don't have any fear at all. God. It doesn't matter what it is. They say God will forgive you and his people will forgive you. But that's not right. Unless God forgives it by the power of the Holy Ghost, it'll not be forgiven. It's going to be held accountable. And why in the world do we want to twist that around and say, oh, you ought not make any judgment? Oh, but listen, our God is a righteous judge. And if we judge by the same righteousness, then it will be proper. So it does us good to look back occasionally and see from where we have come.